In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's already the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, and we celebrate St. John of the Ladder, the famous monastic father who wrote an incredible book that I try to read every Great Lent. Some Great Lents I make it halfway through, sometimes I go all the way. It's an incredible book about life, not just the monastic life. And this letter from the Ephesians, this portion of it that's read today from St. Paul, is really indicative of what happens when you live the life, the Christian life, correctly, when you live it as it's meant to be lived. And monastics are a shining example of that, but not the only example of that. We're all subject to the same gospel, remember. There's a book by St. Ignatiy Bryachaninov in which he details the difference in what is expected of a monk versus what is expected of a layman. No difference. We are required to follow the same gospel, and therefore we are subject to the same laws, and we are responsible to act in the same way. So this epistle, which we give for St. John, applies to us. And there is one very important thing in this epistle. You might recognize it, since this term has been used quite a bit in our parish. See if you recognize it. So, St. Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth. I think it's really good to know what you're trying to do in order to succeed, whatever you're trying to do. You have to have a plan. You have to have a goal in anything. And in the same way, you have to have a plan. You have to have a goal in your life. Why are you alive? What are you living for? Okay, you might be able to give the answer that I always want people to give. To know God. To be united with God. That's the answer. But then what are you going to do about that answer? What are you trying to do today? Are you trying to be more good? More righteous? To live more according to the truth? That is how people become holy. That their goals are spiritual goals. Their goals are righteousness, truth, goodness. Not just living day to day, not just taking care of the dry cleaning in the afternoon and the laundry in the morning and whatever else has to be done and this and that, and a little entertainment, and a little reading, and a little play, and a cold beer at the end of the day. That's not what life is about. Life is about goodness, and righteousness, and truth. Now, during this period of time, Great Lent, we try to focus ourselves more. Not that we shouldn't be thinking of goodness and righteousness and truth outside of Great Lent, but we are weak creatures, and we have to remind ourselves. So it's important, especially during Great Lent, to focus on these things. Is this what your life is about? Is this what you're focused on? Well, if you say things like, I meant to say my prayers today, but I didn't, or I can't seem to get any reading done anytime, or, well, I was going to fast, but I was tempted by this or that or the other thing in the office, or I was hungry, or I was out of sorts, and so I had this or I had that. I would submit to you that all these kinds of things, and a dozen more, and 100 more, and 1,000 more, show that we're not focused on goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what your focus should be. It's as simple as that. That's what your life is for, to become good. Because God is good. We cannot be in His presence if we are full of passions. Not because He punishes us, but because our passions make us afraid of Him. And we should not be afraid of our Father. So, the purpose of your life is summed up in these words. Goodness, righteousness, truth. I think it's interesting that St. Paul chooses to use three words. And of course, our God is three persons. The focus of our life is to become like God. And as far as he can be described, we can say that God is goodness and righteousness and truth. So this is the purpose of our life. Now, how do we express this desire? And I hope that you have this desire. Well, it's how you live. It's the things you do. It's the people you hang out with. It's the things you're interested in. The things you read. The amount of TV you watch. And so St. Paul immediately says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Does this remind you of anything? It reminds me of our modern day, and really probably the ancient day as well. Certainly the ancient day at the time of Paul, because we're returning to that day in the way people live. There's a lot of terrible things that are done and said just in common conversation. And on the television and on the movie screen and in our courtrooms and proclaimed by our president. Immoral things. Things that shouldn't be spoken of, and yet they are right out there all the time. How much do we partake of these things? You have to make that decision yourself. How much are you going to watch the television? If you have a television, I advise you to buy a brick. That would be the best use of your television. And read and pray and struggle. Now, of course, we're not perfect. It's not like we're never going to watch some television, a movie once in a while, perhaps. We can't reach the heights of St. John Climacus right away. But how much are we focusing on goodness and righteousness and truth? That's what this epistle is giving me a wake-up call for. How much? How much are you struggling for it? Are you staying away from things that should be not even spoken of in secret and that they're shouted now on every radio station, every television station, every mall, wherever people are congregating? We shouldn't have anything to do with such things. We're Christians. We should live righteously and correctly. We certainly shouldn't be as Christians forming our opinions according to the world. We should have the courage to believe about righteousness and goodness and truth, no matter what names people call us for believing these things. He goes on and talks about that all things will be made manifest. But he says something then that I want to focus on, something that you should have heard many, many, many times in this parish. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Do you do that? Did you redeem the time yesterday? Perhaps this day has gotten off to a decent start. Perhaps you said your prayers and you came ready for communion. But what about yesterday? How did you do? Were you redeeming the time? God has given you breath, given you life, but for a purpose. Have you redeemed that time? Have you lived righteously? That's why I'm telling you all the time to read the Psalter, read the Gospels, come to the services, fast, pray. Because if we don't do such things, then we're not redeeming the time, we're just living. We're living like a cow. Cow just wakes up and eats grass, drinks water, goes to sleep. Is that how we want to live? We have a purpose, goodness, righteousness, truth, knowledge of God, union with God, perfection. These things are not easily obtained. They're not obtained on the couch. They're not obtained in front of the television. They're not obtained doing worldly things. They're obtained with prayer. they're obtained with humbling ourselves before our brother. They're obtained by reading of holy things. Are you doing these things? Are you redeeming the time? Here we are in the quintessential time to do that, Great Lent. How has your Great Lent been? Have you kept the fast? Now, if you've fallen a few times, that's not so important as, has it been important to you if you've fallen? Has it been important to you that you're trying to improve so that you can be pure and be with God who is pure? You only have so much time. Perhaps one of us will die today. There's only so much time, only so many breaths, only so many prayers, only so many times we can read something. Sometimes I think as I'm reading, like, say, one of the Gospels, or perhaps, let's say, an epistle that I don't read all the time. Let's say I'm reading Colossians, and I get this odd thought. Is this the last time that I'm going to read these words? Will I be dead before I ever come back to this book? I don't consider that macabre at all. That's just realistic. Such beautiful words. Will I read them again? Or will I take up my time with other words that I didn't need to read and therefore never read from Colossians ever again? I don't know. Because I don't know when God will call me. So, brothers and sisters, today, really, the message is quite simple. I suppose I could have given it in 30 seconds. We must redeem the time. We must have goals in our life for holiness. Now, how good you're doing, that's not so important. It really isn't. What's important is you want to do good, and you want to get better, and you want to pick yourself up and dust yourself off when you fall and struggle. And if you do that, God will help you, absolutely. It's the complacent person. That person is very much at risk. Are you complacent? Are you lazy? Nobody who's lazy is going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be a lot of sinners that make it into the kingdom of heaven, but they're all sinners who are trying hard not to sin. Are you among them? Are you among those that the Lord would say are struggling to redeem the time? How good you're doing it, how bad you're doing it, that's not important. But are you doing it? You struggling to do it? God provides the ability. We provide the desire. Do you have the desire? Or are you living a secular life? If you're living a secular life, to a great extent, you won't be aware of it. You know, one of my favorite parts of the gospel, when the Gadarenes, swine, are all inhabited by the demons and die, and then the people go and they ask the Lord to leave them because they were afraid they'd seen God work against their sins. And he did. He left. The next day, they started to figure out how to get more pigs and go on with their life. They weren't aware of what they'd lost. If you live complacently, you're not aware of what you've lost. So be aware. If you haven't been fasting well, try to fast a little better. You haven't been reading? We should be in Luke right now in our reading. You know, if you're not anywhere near that, well, read a chapter today of something. If you haven't been coming to the services, if you haven't come to confession for a while, you can make these improvements. Not everything all at once, but something, so that you redeem your time. That is really how people become holy. They say, God has given me this time. I must. I'm required. I'm commanded to redeem it. And so they do the best they can. And the best they can becomes better and better because God assists them. So, brothers and sisters, my prayer for you as your pastor is that you redeem the time that the Lord has given you. Amen.